Welcome to our second step-by-step podcast. I'm Steve Braswell. We're looking at the three basic questions of life. Last week, we talked about the question, who am I? What's my identity? And we talked about how we need to make our identity in Christ our primary identity. This week, we're going to look at the second question, why am I here? The question of purpose. I read about a survey recently about work. You know, if you work a full-time job, that's going to take most of your waking quality hours. Well, the question on the survey was, what makes your work meaningful? The number one response was relationships with other people. When I read that, I wondered about people, so many people now working from home and not having as much contact with other people. Wonder if that would, in the future, if that survey might turn out a little differently. But the number two response was purpose. Achieving goals, finding purpose, feeling accomplishment. That is so important in our life and in our work. I must say that same question carries over into retirement, maybe even more so. The clock is ticking. It's great to have extra time, but what's my purpose for my life? We all wrestle at some point with that age-old question, why am I here? There's actually an entire book of the Bible devoted to this question, and it's really a surprising book to be in the Bible, but it's been there for centuries. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a word that means an assembly called together to hear the wisdom of an experience from the teacher. This teacher is often thought of as Solomon because it had to be someone with a lot of riches and resources and time and fame, even though chapter 1, verse 16 makes it sound like a lot of rulers in Jerusalem had already ruled before him, and Solomon was actually only the second king to rule in Jerusalem. His father David was the first king to make Jerusalem his capital. But whoever it was, this teacher has had a lot of life experience and has tried lots of things to help him find meaning in this life. And so, after all of that, he comes to a conclusion and writes this book. And this is how it begins. If you want to look in your Bible, it's Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. I'll stop right there. If you have heard someone lecture who has had lots of life experience and you're going to them to find out what's the purpose of it all, and the first words they say, meaningless, meaningless. But that's his conclusion. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Or in older translations, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does anyone gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There's no remembrance of people of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. This great teacher, a man of great wisdom, goes on in this book to enumerate all the things he has tried to help himself answer the question, why am I here? And if I had plenty of money, resources, time, and fame, and I made a list of, okay, I'm going to try. What I'm really looking for is trying to find happiness or meaning that lasts. And I made a list. This is very close to the list I would make. Listen to, if you can read the book, but listen to the things he tried. Wisdom and education. laughter, pleasure, wine and eating, building projects, gardens and parks, increasing possessions, increasing my net worth, hard work, travel, intimate relationships, keeping my body strong. All of those things that people have tried to answer the question, why am I here? And here's the thing, all of them worked. The teacher says all of them worked, but for the short term. They brought temporary pleasure to him, but it didn't last. He knew that once it was gone and once he was gone, it would be over and forgotten. You know, I love the Bible because it's the most realistic book in the world. It tells us about life like it really is. There are a lot of religious people, a lot of Christians, who if they put together a religious book, wouldn't include things like this. They like to look at life through rose-colored glasses and make it sound better than it really is, but this is life as it is. You know, as I read those first 11 verses, I mean, it's so true. What has been done will be done again. What about, is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? Well, you think, well, yeah. What about cell phones? What about the next iPhone? It's new. It's got new features. Well, true, technology has advanced, but beyond all that, it's all the same. It's just a different way of storing knowledge, a different way of communicating knowledge, but in the end, it's all the same. So is all this really true? Well, yes, it is. And let me tell you, if you just focus on it like the teacher did, you will become depressed. Tell people, if you're already depressed, then Ecclesiastes is probably not the book of the Bible for you to start reading right now. But as he tries all this, there's something inside of you that just screams, there has to be more than this. So why am I here? Well, the teacher tried all those things, but then he doesn't end his book with a lot of platitudes about God, but he does give us hints of the answers to his questions in the final chapter. Beginning with verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. It's so important to know God as early as we can in life, because the ruts of our life run deep, and the more the years go on and dig those ruts, it's hard to change them. Then verse 13, he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. After all I've learned and all the wisdom I've gained, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of every human being. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. In other words, when you're asking ultimate questions about your life, like why am I here, God must be part of the equation. There is no satisfactory answer without the one who put you here. Now, even knowing God, you still might not have the answers to all your questions, but God has to be part of the equation. Even Bertrand Russell, the renowned atheist, said, unless you assume a God, the question of life's purpose is meaningless. Colossians 1:16 says in the Message, everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Centuries ago in England in the 1640s, there were a bunch of godly people who got together to write the Westminster Catechism. And when they wrote a catechism is a summary of the Christian faith with question and answer format. And so the very first question right out of the gate, it's not about the Bible. It's not about who is God. The very first question, what is the chief end of human beings? In other words, why are we here? And their answer was to glorify God and to enjoy God forever. God has to be part of our life's purpose. Why am I here? In other words, it's not about me, it's about God. If I only make it about me, I cannot solve this puzzle. Do you ever do jigsaw puzzles, I'm not as interested in them, but my wife Joy enjoys doing them. She'll spread all the pieces out on a large table, and I will go and look at them and think, my goodness, no matter how many hundreds of pieces it is, they all look alike. There's no way that this can be a puzzle that fits together. It'd be so hard to fit them all together. Well, you can only put it together if you let the pieces fit as the designer cut the pieces. God made you, and God gives you a purpose for life. Have you ever been lost? I remember one time in particular going to a funeral one Saturday afternoon. This was some years ago, before the days of Google or even MapQuest. It was in the days of fold-out maps. And the pastor of the church and I were going to a funeral. We didn't know exactly where it was. It was far out in the middle of nowhere. We stopped at an old gas station, not even knowing if it was still functioning. But an old man came out of the station in bib overalls, spitting on the ground as he walked. He stooped over, saw two men in suits on a Saturday afternoon. And the first thing he said to us was, "You boys is lost, ain't you?" He knew we didn't belong there. What about your life? Do you feel lost? No sense of purpose? Not sure where you're going or what you're supposed to do? Why am I here? Well, you can answer that question through speculation on your own or through revelation with God's help. Remember the verses we read last week in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus, and for a purpose. Notice the rest of that sentence. We're God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. I love that God is working in me. It's not just about my work. I love that God has a purpose for me. I love that God planned it long ago, that I'm living in this particular time and space, but it's connected to God's purpose throughout time and indeed for eternity. Why am I here? I really can't answer that question satisfactorily and permanently without God's help. So join me next week for our third and last basic question. Remember the first two: who am I, identity, why am I here, purpose. Then next week, where am I going, the question of destiny.